initiate countdown. Execute.
Do not touch your dial. We are in charge of this transmission.
Hello and welcome.
Squad.
Good evening, this is Johnny Reed with Brute Squad. How are you guys doing tonight? Big day in comics.
Big day all around. Comics, movies, we got all kinds of good stuff going on today.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's a good day.
Great. Just the whole week has just been phenomenal. First of all, I guess really the biggest thing that everybody is talking about, the big buzz, let's talk about Superman tonight.
Okay, Superman.
Superman. American icon, red, white, and blue, truth, justice, and the American way. And DC Comics decides this year, this month, this week, that Superman is going to renounce his citizenship with the United States.
What? Hold on. I missed out on this one.
Oh, yes. It's the big thing. Basically, he goes overseas. He tries to help these nationalists, whatever, you know, fighting terrorism, blah, blah, blah. And basically, he comes back over, and all of a sudden, here's the American way. And they're saying, hey, you can't do that. That's an American. This is like an incident. America's going to be accountable for your actions. And Superman's like, well, fine. Then I renounce my citizenship, and I'm not going to fall under your laws anymore. A lot of people are talking about this because there's two different ballparks here. You got the one side that's saying, hey, this is great because now Superman is an alien anyway. He really, well, let's get down to it. He's an illegal alien.
Right.
And really, should he not be global anyway?
He always has been, really.
But by the same token, you know, he is an American icon. And now you're saying that he is no longer an American icon, that he is now going to be a global icon and get rid of that American citizenship. A lot of people are unhappy about that.
Well, he's not Captain America, though. That'd be a little bit difficult for Captain America to do such a thing, but I can see both sides. My thing with Superman, though, is it's always been truth, justice, and the American way. You know,
right.
That was kind of the big thing about Superman. Of course, he was, you know, at the time Superman was invented, you know, we kind of needed that hero. We were in a deep way, a lot of depression. A lot of people were involved in wars. I mean, think
right.
of all the times in World War I and II that Superman was brought in as a symbol for the troops when they, you know, they gave him all the free comics and all that.
Oh, right.
And he was always fighting alongside the troops and, you know, things like that. So I can see where he's a big American morale builder, but at the same time, I can also see the point of kind of playing it so he's also a worldwide kind of guy, because he's always been a worldwide guy. I mean, I remember that, you know, even things as goofy as the Super Friends, they'd go to Egypt and stuff. And
oh, right.
You know, so he's always, you know, been a worldwide kind of guy, and hell, he's even gone to other planets and everything else, helped out the Green Lanterns. I mean, you know, there's always something going on with him.
But it's also kind of reflected the American government. I mean, when you look at politics right now, America has always been the police force of the world.
Whether people like that or not, I think.
I mean, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people that, hey, what are we even doing over there? What are we doing over here? Can't you guys worry about your own backyards, basically?
Right.
But by the same token, you know, we have been the police force. When there's a problem, usually the UN is usually like, hey, America's going to get in there. We're not going to mess with it. You know, and that's kind of like the thing of Superman. He was always representing America. Hey, we're going to go where it's needed. You know, and now I don't know. I'm unsure of where it's going to go.
Well, and I kind of am frustrated with them putting politics in the comics to begin with.
Well,
I'm so tired
have,
of that
though,
crap.
But
though.
They always have. I mean, unfortunately,
man, I don't know.
Because you got to remember, World War II, the big thing, Captain America, Superman. Like you said, they were trying to drum up American spirit.
Right.
You know, by giving these comics out, hey, Captain America's going after Hitler, the JSA going after Hitler, you know, that was the big storylines at the time. You know, I think the problem I have is so much the comics are reflecting it now.
Yeah, see, I don't like that because they only did that in times of crisis or times of war.
Right.
They didn't just do it all the time. And now it's like, yeah, I mean, it was weird whenever you're seeing Barack Obama on a Spider-Man cover. Really? Why?
Oh, granted, yes.
You know, I don't like the mix of politics and comic books because for me, the whole reason I read comic books is because every time I turn on the TV, it's a depression box, and I'm tired of it. So I kind of want to get away from that. Let's come up with our own universe, and that's what the comics are to me. It's like I want to sit down and read something. I don't want to be reminded that there's real crap out there. I want to just enjoy the comic.
Well, the thing about comics is, lack of a better word, it's you have a fellowship of it. You know, it's almost like its own religion, you know?
Kind of, yeah.
And shouldn't there be a separation between church and state?
I think so, for so, sure, yeah.
There's my
that
vote.
It's very freaky, yeah. It is kind of freaky. And unless it's something like Captain America, which was created pretty much for the purpose of boosting American morale and such things like that, and really used for that, I can understand that why that's the way it is, you know, to an extent. But like Batman, I don't want to see politics in a Batman comic. Batman is about Batman. I don't care. The reason I'm reading Batman is because I like Batman. I like the stories. I like the characters. I like the villains. I don't want to be hearing about true life politics. And I think that's true of my movies. You know, when I go to the movie theater, the reason why I don't go see a whole bunch of documentaries or a whole bunch of, life realistic drama is because I go to the movie theater to kind of get rid of all that. And it frustrates me when I go see a horror movie that's like based in reality and it turns out to be like something like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, even though I love that movie for its technical accomplishments. I'll never want to watch that movie again because when I got done, I was depressed, I was unhappy, I wanted to take a shower. You know,
right.
That's not what I go to the movies for. That's not what I read my comics for. That's not why I turn on the tube to watch cartoons. As a matter of fact, you barely catch me watching news anymore. I watch The Daily Show because I'm tired of the fake news. You know, I'm tired. They say that's the fake news, but I say the opposite. I'm so tired of these. I mean, let's face it. Every night on The Daily Show or every other night, Jon Stewart shows you these clips of these news leaders. They're all saying the same story, sometimes word for word, man. It's scary.
Oh, it is.
Like they have a script, and they're so dumb they don't even deviate from it. Now, every once in a while you get a creative guy who says the script but does it his own way.
Right.
But half the time it's the word for word, no matter what network. And I'm
here's
like,
your press release. Go ahead and tell us what in your own words what we want you to say.
Right. And most of the time they don't even follow their own words. They just say, okay, let me read this word for word. And the funny thing is you're kind of looking at it and you're going, okay, I know that they all had to get the same deal because it's not like CBS did a half an hour and then ABC copied. They're all at the same time. So
right.
It's very frustrating, and that's why I go to comics or I go, you know, to movies, right? Or I go to music for my outlets for this because I just don't want to deal with it, I think.
Well, I agree. See, I've always said that, believe it or not, reality is just a stepping stop from one fantasy to another.
I think so. Yeah.
And to me, the big thing about comics and movies is you get stressed out with life. You have the bills, you have your politics, you have all that, and you need to have those comics to show you a better way.
Well, Johnny, you and I both experienced in school. We'd be so upset. Remember those days in school when,
oh yeah,
God, something terrible. You just couldn't. You were like, oh my God, another day of peer pressure, another day of crap, another day of BS. Maybe you just had the worst day. You come home. You know, I would either run to the movie theater and watch a movie because they didn't have VCRs when I was real little,
right?
Or I'd pop out a comic book, The Hulk or Batman.
It was your escape.
Yeah,
it was your escape.
You got done with that issue. You're like, wow, I feel better.
Yeah, because you're like, hey. This is some place I can go. This is my spot. And see, and I think a lot of that, even with this generation nowadays, you know, they need to see something that will inspire hope, not confirm how bad America or your way of life. We see that every day. Do we need it to be in our print every single day?
Thank you. No, we don't.
You know, we see in the news every day. It's just when it's always there, I mean, basically, if you get bombarded with this over and over and over, that's how you think life is. You know, the biggest thing that really inspired America back in World War II, back in the older days, were they always thinking of something greater. You know, look at where we can be. Look where we can go. And nowadays, it's always like, oh, we're in a recession. We have problems with the bills. We have this. But, you know, let's start looking positively. What can we do about it?
That's right.
You know, let's not just do, hey, blanket statement, you know, it's time for a change. Okay, it is. But what is that plan?
Right.
You know, let's start thinking positive. And, yep. You know, part of that is, you know, give us our escape.
Give us some escapism once in a while, man.
Yes.
And you know, it's one of those things where they take away so much of our escapism nowadays. They make it so homogenized and so milk carton fresh that it's not even any fun for me anymore. Horror movies are all the same. They're PG-13 poop. I mean, movies like Sucker Punch get cut by 18 minutes, so it's PG-13 poop.
Right.
Our comic books are one of the last vestiges where, you know, they're not trying to pull them all off the shelves. I mean, hell, they pull off the music I like half the time. They pull off the movies I like. Half the time they pull off the graphic novels I like. At least let us have our comic books, man.
Oh, I agree. Definitely.
It's time, you know. Give us something. Jesus.
And, yeah, I agree.
The whole thing with the Superman's got me kind of upset. I'm like, I don't even like that stuff, man. Just go. How about you guys just quit goofing around and make some good comics? Let's have some fun. Let's have Superman fight some alien robots and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Brainiac Luthor. Yeah, and let's not write, you know, these comics where, you know, I need to get a dictionary and a thesaurus and all these other books just to understand what's being written.
Yeah, let me go to Kuwait. I'm Superman, and I'm going to go overseas. I mean, let's not do that.
Yeah, they should have their own.
Yeah. That's right.
Give them their own. I mean, if they want to do crossovers, you know, great.
That's right. That's right.
You know, but I mean, we are, whether they like it or not, in America.
Yep, yep. Let's enjoy it. Absolutely. So what we got? We got some new comics this week, it looks
yeah,
like?
Yeah, a lot this week. Grim Fairy Tales. That's basically a Zenscope title called the Dream Eater Saga. First time that this comic book company is actually doing a crossover. Which most comic companies, they do it every week.
Right.
But they've been going on, gosh, I want to say about 6-7 years now. And it's basically just retelling all these old stories of Grimm's fairy tales, the Brothers Grimm. And now they're actually doing this whole crossover between the Pied Piper, the Queen of Hearts. They're bringing in Peter Pan. But Peter Pan basically is killing all the fairies.
He's a psychopath, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
He's pretty psycho. Sinbad. Got to tell you, I'm digging it. Good reading. The artwork's good. The cover's good. Definitely recommend it.
That's cool. That's cool.
Got to tell you, this, talking about political comics, here's a major one this week. Uncanny X-Force. I got to tell you, I really kind of enjoyed this comic. For those of you that do not know the premise of the new Uncanny X-Force, basically, Wolverine puts a strike force together. Unsanctioned by the X-Men and Cyclops. It's very Black Ops, and it's Wolverine, Deadpool, which everybody loves Deadpool. Who doesn't like a smart aleck? Psylocke, Phantom X, and Archangel. And basically what they're doing is they're going out to nail basically the villains before they strike. Instead of being reactionary, they're being totally
proactive,
offensive. In this issue, Wolverine comes back from a mission where they basically just killed this guy that was possessed. And they're like, hey, guys, sorry, there was nothing else we can do. One of those missions, you're just going to have to suck it up and live with it. And as they walk in, here's Magneto. Funny story of this comic, Magneto has finally found one of the SS officers that tortured him in the Nazi prison camps.
Ah.
He goes to Wolverine, and Wolverine, number one, is shocked. He's like, how do you even know about us? And he's like, you forget who you're talking to? I'm Magneto, the batter of the bads. And he actually asks Wolverine to kill this guy straight out.
That's kind of a weird thing, though, because Wolverine's torn, I'm sure, because it's like, okay, even though this guy's a jerk, I'm being asked to do it by a jerk.
Well, the one thing about
Lesser
Magneto
of two evils,
is Magneto's now working with the X-Men. He's now a good guy for the next however many years till somebody else jumps on board and rewrites him. But right now, he is technically an X-Men. But he walks up to Wolverine, and Wolverine's like, you know, we're not a revenge squad. You know, we're a Black Ops squad. And he goes, do this for me. And I got to tell you, I really recommend this issue. It's really kind of what I like about it is so many things nowadays is trying to cover up the fact of what truly happened in World War II. We're not going to go totally political here, but, you know, there's a lot of things that are not being taught, a lot of things that are not being, that are trying to be swept
under
the
rug. Well, they
do
that all the time. It's rewriting
history. They do. They're trying
daily.
Daily. And I think it's nice and fresh to actually say, hey, this was a terrible thing that happened. These guys still exist. And, you know, hey, how should we deal with them? And it's just, it's a one-shot story, but it's kind of creepy. I mean, it's very dark and it's very creepy, but, you know, not for kids under 18, but above that, I think it's pretty good.
Cool.
Freedom Fighters, they're coming up. Believe it or not, just got canceled.
Really?
I think issue 10 or 11 is going to be their last issue. Basically, they're having it that the government does not have enough money to pay them.
Which is fairly accurate.
Exactly. So they're going to de-sanction them.
Wow.
Because, you know, we need 100 hammers and 2,000 toilet seats, but, you know, we are not going to actually pay for a superhero group.
Wow, nice.
Yes.
So DC's getting rid of them.
Yes.
Doom Patrol. I saw Doom Patrol, man.
They canceled that one as well.
What is DC having, financial crunch?
Well, they're doing this whole new Flashpoint where they're going to be rewriting the history of DC.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's kicking off.
Maybe they'll get rid of this crappy Robin, though.
Yeah, I'm thinking not, no.
Gah!
Yes.
Get
rid of Damian, and that'd be great.
Get rid of the whole side story from an alternate universe that never existed.
Oh, no, I think Damian would be a great character if they make him a villain.
Well, there you go, because it certainly
those,
sucks.
Yes, well, those just turning in, I am not a Damian fan. No. I think Thomas Elliott should be the anti-Batman, and he should be the anti-Robin.
There you go.
While you're at it, let's make Jason Todd the anti-Renegade.
There you go.
You know, anti-Nightwing, he's got the tame. Making him the Red Hood, I think, is silly.
It is.
They're making him the Red Hood again. Why? I don't know. I'm sure it has something to do with Grant Morrison.
We have nothing good to say about.
About who?
Grant Morrison.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
He who shall not be named.
He who shall not be named. But I used to love the Doom Patrol, man, back in the day.
Well, you know what? Talking to Grant Morrison, he wrote some great Doom Patrol. Wrote some great Animal Man. When you get these offshot characters that really DC's never done anything with, and they're just kind of in the back burner, and he takes them and he brings them forward and he writes about them. He does some great work with that. It's the iconic characters he's so worried about putting his own stamp on
that he's running.
He steps all over what's been done before. It's like, it's great that you want to put a stamp on it, but, you know, respect what's been done before. Respect your elders.
Is the Doom Patrol still got the three main monsters, the Frankenstein, werewolf, vampire guy?
No, that is actually, this is the robot, Negative Man, Robot Man, and Elastigirl.
I gotcha.
The ones you're thinking of is the Horror Squad.
Yeah, but they called it the Doom Patrol, I think.
Nope,
back
it was
in the
Horror Squad.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because they're actually re-releasing it next month.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah, I got it on my pull list. It looks really good.
Weird.
And you know, this is a good time, I think. You know, I'd like to give a little bit of a background here on myself. Because, you know, yeah, I'm going to be previewing comics every week, and yeah, my show is about comics and movies, but the biggest thing is I love comics. I love them. I always have, always will. The biggest thing is my pull list, personally, I do about 50 comics a month. Just for you guys out there, you know, I don't just talk about this stuff. I go out, I buy them. I got to read my 50 comics a month. I read the majority of DC. I read all the X-Men titles from Marvel. You know, some of the other ones are hit or miss, but overall, I read a lot of DC, because right now, DC is doing a lot of good work. But, you know, that being said, I got to tell you, the new story arc for Marvel, Fear Itself, issue 2 came out this week. And basically, the story behind that is Odin, I guess, kind of imprisoned this elder god, the god of fear itself, and he's escaped. Odin has taken all the gods of Asgard, locked them up on Asgard, getting ready to actually have a big, huge battle. And he actually imprisons Thor and chains him up in prison because Thor wants to help Earth. He's like, we are gods. We're supposed to be helping Earth. You know, we need to go help Midgard. And Odin's like, no, we're going to protect our own. Forget them. So Thor and Odin, very at ends. Go figure. The movie's coming out tonight, so they need to be kind of shadowing the movie. I can see it. But I got to tell you, the best part about this is this God of Fear is actually building his own avatars. And they have these certain weapons, these hammers. And, like, one of the first one is the Red Skull's daughter.
Okay.
Then you get the Hulk. Then you turn around and Juggernaut finds one. Then Titana. So these great heroes and villains are becoming these great avatars that are being empowered with godlike powers. And basically, it's just gearing up. But I got to tell you, the last few big events that Marvel has done, they have not excited me at all.
I think we're all burnt out.
But I got to tell you, this one is actually looking pretty good. If they can keep it smaller contained and not put it through every single book, I think they're going to be all right. Unfortunately, looking at the new previews, they're going to be dumping it all over a whole bunch of other books. Which, I, you know, that's my biggest problem with comics today, folks. Really, this whole thing that we got to have event from event from event. You know, everybody on blogs, message boards are talking about this event fatigue. And I got to tell you, I'm right there. I mean, I love my comics. It's not like I'm going to quit buying them. But you know what, guys? Marvel, DC, if you're listening, give us a little bit of a break. If you're going to paint these great landscapes. What?
Creature Commandos.
Thank you.
That's what it was.
That's it. Yes, that's starting up.
Weird War was the title. Yep. I kept thinking Doom Patrol. No, the Weird War, the Creature Commandos.
Go. Yep, they're starting up next month. They're doing a three-issue limited series.
They are cool.
You know what? I will be grabbing those for you. You'll love them. They look pretty good. They're the original characters.
That's good. That's good.
But total sidebar there. Now I got to get back on track.
Sorry. No, okay. That happens sometimes with me.
But no, with these events, it's like Civil War. Civil War was a great landscape. Great ideas. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh no, we got to go to invasion. Turn around and you see, you know, Secret Invasion. Who can you trust? This is a great concept and landscape for Marvel Comics. All of a sudden, you're finding out that the Skrulls have invaded Earth. And that, hey, they've been taking places of main characters, heroes, S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, villains. You could rewrite the history of Marvel very easily. I mean, Hank Pym, wife beater, you know, divorce with Wasp. Very, you know, anti-hero, you know, for a guy to do. They could have said, hey, this was a Skrull. He could come back and where, you know, Wasp is thinking, hey, we're divorced, I'm married to someone else. All of a sudden, it's like, no, you divorced a Skrull. I'm still on a different planet in prison. But, you know, before they even touched on the possibilities of this, they had to go right to Dark Reign. Once again, Dark Reign, you know, it's just event after event after event. And I mean, like, if you're, they got some great creative ideas. But if you're going to paint these landscapes and say, hey, you know, here's our trademark, you know, things will never be the same. Well, let's play around with that a little bit. You know, let's do some character development. Let's see how these characters will actually develop into this new landscape that you've created versus, okay, let's go do another one. Let's go do another one. Let's go do another one. You know, we're dealing with characters that have been around since the 40s.
Well, we just got done with Blackest Night, for instance, and now we're doing this Flash thing?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just... How long has it been since that got over, dude?
The sad part is, like, the new previews came out this last week.
Right.
And they are soliciting all the second issues of Flashpoint. And they're also at the same time soliciting Blackest Night Aftermath.
Oh, my God.
And it's kind of like, really?
Golly, guys.
And before that, and then it wasn't Blackest Night, it's actually the Brightest Day.
Right, it became Brightest Day.
It's
right.
Brightest Day. But, I mean, but you're right. It almost seemed like the same one because it went from Blackest Night right to Brightest Day.
Right, I thought they were the
right
same.
Into Flashpoint.
Yeah. Right.
And it's kind of like, you know, the only thing I can say at least about Brightest Day, you had some one-shot issues here and there, but you pretty much stuck to the 24 issues.
Right.
And then like right now, Green Lantern, they have this big war on lanterns. But it's only in the Green Lantern titles. I like the days that they do that. If you have an event just in the Avengers or event in just the X-Men, you know, but when you're doing these like Fear Itself events and Flashpoint, if you want to know what's going on, you almost got to buy everything.
Well, and on top of that, it's affecting every major character in the entire universe of comics. And in reality, it's getting to the point now where, all right, didn't the Blackest Night, Brightest Day just affect every character? Yes. Now we're going to go and do this too. And in between all that, we had Batman getting killed and everything else. I mean,
right.
Jesus, man. What more do we need to do to screw up the DC Comics universe? How much more can people take before they say, get this guy out of here.
Right.
Listen to the fans. Warner Brothers didn't listen to the fans when we got Joel Schumacher movies.
Oh, are we going to go there?
We're going there because this is almost the equivalent of Joe killing Batman in his own comic and then coming back with this inane idea of a Batman franchise like McDonald's is just as bad as Joel Schumacher and the nipples.
Oh, yeah. I'd have to say.
If not worse.
Oh, granted.
Because at least Joel Schumacher is like a one-off and he can kind of ignore it. This is reverberating for every Batman comic there is almost.
Yeah, I agree with the Batman. But see, on the flip side, The Brightest Day, The Blackest Night, I got to tell you, some of the best writing I've seen in years.
Yeah, but
Jeff Johns and Tomasi has good, really done a great job. I mean, look, but there's a lot of things that are going on different. I mean, you got 24 issues of Brightest Day. Let's talk about that. That came out last week. And the biggest thing with Brightest Day was you had 12 heroes and villains that they were given missions by the White Lantern, and if they completed them by the end of it, they should gain their life. Well, you have Dead Man. By the end of it, by the way, spoiler alerts for those who haven't read, gets killed. So you have 12 issues of him being human again for you to put him right back to where he was. He's now dead.
Dead Man.
Hawkman and Hawkgirl. They finally break the curse. Through Blackest Night and Brightest Day, they break the curse. So basically, they're not going to keep being reincarnated in every single issue. So what happens at the end of it? Hawkman's alive, and nobody knows what happened to Hawkgirl. It looks like she's going to be an air elemental.
What?
So he's in a rage because the White Lantern has decided that they don't need to be together. And I'm sorry. I mean, it's like, okay, you had Green Arrow and Black Canary married for all of a blink of an eye, and then you have them getting divorced. It's like anytime you put a couple together in comics, it's like, hey, we can't have that. Someone's going to die. I mean, look, don't even get me on the Spider-Man. Hey, we got, Brand New Day where our hero, whose trademark, with great powers come great responsibility, is going to make a deal with the devil to save Aunt May that's going to rewrite all the history with him and Mary Jane to where they were never married.
Yeah.
Okay, number one, I'm sorry. God love Aunt May. But I'm sorry, let's talk about some reality here. You are married.
Well,
okay,
I mean, that is your wife. Who came up with that idea anyway? That's a dumb idea. Peter Parker would have never even got into that situation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah, you're going to have Spider-Man make a deal with the devil.
What is this, Ghost Rider now?
Yeah, exactly. And I just don't understand it. Just to save Aunt May. I'm sorry, Aunt May's like 98 years old. I mean, at this point, okay, I'll be heartless. Let her go, All year, she's either going to get kidnapped, beat up, date. I mean, does she really have a great life, elderly retirement life to live? Because every time you turn around, you're putting her in harm's way.
Exactly.
So let's make a deal with the devil because we know that they never, ever go back on their deals.
Oh, yeah, only in every comic.
Well, movie, comic, whatever. I mean, right. Prince of Lies, yeah, he's trustworthy.
Only in politics.
Only in politics.
They make the deal and it works out okay, I think.
Well, they're more like henchmen, not actually, guys in charge.
There you go.
But, I just, like Brightest Day, there's a lot
of... There's good writing, and then there's things they do that just piss you off.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where if you're going to do a character development, and you're going to have somebody vest not only their emotions and their pocketbook for this, 12-issue limited series, 24-issue limited series, Countdown. Countdown was like 50-something issues.
Insane.
Jason Todd was the same character from the beginning to the end. Bronson Brand, Dead Man. Died at the beginning, came back to life, dead at the end. It's kind of like, I don't quite understand, don't invest us into this just to keep it the exact same status quo.
Exactly.
Let's change a few things up. I say that, but then again, I'm sitting here complaining because we don't have Hawkgirl anymore. But it's kind of one of those, my God, can you give a brother a break?
I thought about you because I saw the Hawkgirl Gentleman Ghost 2-pack at Walmart.
Yes, it's Walmart exclusive.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought, really? $35?
$34.99.
I'm like, really? Really, guys? I don't know what they're thinking. These are two figures that have already been released. They really need to drop them down to $10 a piece. I think we'd all be happy with $19.99.
Well, I think what's really everybody was upset by that is the Gentleman Ghost is the rare figure. But the biggest part about it being rare was it comes with the head and the torso of the Giganta.
Right.
Well, just given the Gentleman Ghost, people are still looking for those Build-A-Figure pieces.
Right.
If you would have done that 2-pack with the missing Build-A-Figure pieces, I think it would be worth it.
Maybe. I'm still balking at $35 for a damn action figure pack.
Well, it's better than Giganta's parts that are going for $100.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Well, tell you what, I think it's about time for one of our breaks.
Good deal.
And we'll be back here just a little bit with Brute Squad.
Personnel,
you got it.
You got it.
You found the most listened to radio station.
Jackalope Radio.
Welcome back. This is Johnny with Brute Squad.
Brute Squad. I just had to throw that in there.
Yeah, so my sidekick.
Yeah, I'm the sidekick today. That's awesome. Man, I'm excited about this Thor thing, even though, you know what, I'm wearing my own helmet, because I figure if the bastard isn't going to put the helmet on, And I don't know if he is or isn't, because in the trailer, there's no helmet.
No, there's a new trailer that came out, and he is wearing the helmet.
You see, the only one I saw was that one shot from behind when he raises the hammer, and he's got the helmet on. That's
supposedly the first battles in Asgard, he's going to be wearing the helmet. And then when he's actually in front of the king, he loses it.
That's weird.
So he's not wearing it 24/7. And I guess on Earth, he's not even wearing the suit because he's supposed to be mortal.
That stinks.
So, yeah, I got to tell you, it looks decent.
I'm going to try.
And I'm going to try it. I mean,
just a few hours.
Tonight, midnight, we will be there.
Yep.
But I understand that supposedly they're saying that It's going to be like aliens.
That bugs the hell out of me.
You know what really bothers me the most?
What is this, Highlander?
Yeah, there can be only one until we franchise. Hey, that's the funniest story I ever saw about Highlander. Is, you know, every so often I'll go to a gun show because, you know, I collect swords.
Right.
Something else about me, people, yes, I love swords, and Highlander is the greatest movie ever made. And I love the fact that I went to a gun show and I see a stack of Highlander katanas, and all of them printed on the side, there can be only one. There can be only one.
But there's like 20.
There can be only one. And there's like, and I'm like, boy, that's kind of a oxymoron there to me.
Yeah, it's pretty ironic. Sense. But my problem is, you know, I'm going to give it a chance, like I said. But it, to me, that even in Adventures in Babysitting, the two things that the little girl even said, you really need this helmet when she's giving it to the garage mechanic guy, and he's kind of a jerk, he's a douche, and she hands him that helmet, and he kind of goes, "What is this, kid?" She goes, "You're Thor, and you can't be Thor without your helmet." Remember her saying
yeah.
that? Because to me, that's very true. There's two things about Thor: his helmet and his friggin' hammer.
Well, in the comics, that was his iconic image. But, like, his hammer was, of course, his weapon of choice.
Right.
He also had the girdle, or, you know, in our day and age, the belt of strength, which is where he was supposed to get a lot of his godly strength from.
Right.
And then in certain periods, he had the gauntlets.
Right.
That would enhance his powers. But, you know, it's always been the Thor hammer and the hat.
Yeah, the helmet.
He needs the helmet.
Gotta have it. So I'm wearing my own. Like, damn you, I'll wear my own. I'll look more like Thor than he does.
You remember, you mentioned the Adventure of Babysitting. You know who that actor is?
I do know who he is, but I can't remember on the
He's
top.
Like the main star now of Law and Order.
That's it, yeah.
And I'm like, and he's not even a blonde now. It cracks me up.
Isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah, he doesn't even look the same. My wife's like, she was watching that and Adventures with my daughter, and she's like, yeah, Thor looks good. I'm like, yeah, wait till you see him on USA now.
There you go. Oh, that's right. That was, you know what? I just now remembered. You're right, because I love Vincent D'Onofrio, and I forgot played Thor until you just mentioned
it. I can remember his name. Thank you for bringing it up.
I was thinking of another guy, but you're right. It was Vincent D'Onofrio.
Played it, yeah.
I love Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah,
he's
you'd
a big
never
horror
picture
movie freak. Big time.
Uh-huh.
He did a lot of cool stuff when he was young.
Right.
And yeah, Thor. He was good.
Well, Thor's been played by, what, two people now? This will be third?
Oh, that was that horrible made-for-TV thing. Remember that? With
that
the
was
Hulk?
With the Hulk.
That was
And you know what he is
terrible.
Now? I think it's iCharlie or iCarly, something on Disney Channel. He's playing the dad now.
He needs to be an employee at IHOP because that's just not even right to portray Thor in such a terrible way. And then the early Captain America was even worse. Wow, what was that about?
The early Cap.
Yeah, with the motorcycle helmet.
Oh, well, he had the motorcycle that came out of the van in the back.
That's so awful.
Well, what I always hated about that, because I'm kind of a truist when it comes to characters, is the very first one they premiered, he had like a derivative costume.
It was so awful.
It was terrible. At least with the sequel, they got the costume finally right.
Well, most of it, except still the stupid motorcycle helmet.
Well, I don't know. I had plus you had the shield that was like clear see through.
Right, it was goofy as hell.
It's like no.
I have to be honest with you. Everyone, you know, talks about this, and it's really hard to find on DVD. And I'm hoping now, because the new movie coming out, someone will actually put out the Canon Films version. Because I have to tell you, even though he was only in the beginning and the end, I really liked the suit in that version from 91, 92. Uh-huh. Now the Red Skull was pretty scary looking because he didn't exactly look like he does in the new movie, which is exactly like the Red Skull. Back
right.
then he looked like a mutilated bloody face. But the thing was, man, even though the middle of the movie drug really slow, is really draggy, it was like unbelievably talky, and Steve Rogers was the main character from all through the whole hour in the middle. I have to tell you, that beginning 15 minutes and that end 20 minutes are actually awesome because the guy looks just like I always wanted Captain America to look. The suit is perfect, and he looked the part, and he actually did a good job with his voice and everything, and I thought, yeah, it's kind of cheesy, but then again, so were some of the comics during that era, so I kind of enjoyed the hell out of it.
I thought
it was a fun movie. You know, granted, the Fantastic Four canon film was awful, but the Captain America one was actually pretty cool. And it actually, the funny thing is, I've read places that said it was unreleased, but that's not true. It was released in theaters where I first caught it, and it was also released on VHS, and it was very popular.
Right, because, well, you can see them at Comic Cons. I mean, you can always find the, you know, the black market copy. Yeah, they're always around.
Kind of like that, the first version of The Punisher with Dolph Lundgren. It was another one of those Canon movies, because Canon got the licensing from Marvel to do these films at that time. And Roger Corman was involved with the Fantastic Four one, and it just didn't turn out too good.
You know what the best part of The Punisher was?
The end credits for that version.
The best part of The Punisher
what's that?
Was when the sample for Biohazard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Biohazard did a whole tribute to The Punisher, and the very beginning was Dolph Lundgren's, you know, I am justice, I am punishment. And it led into the song, and I'm like, you know, I think that was the only purpose of that movie that was good.
Yeah, that version was pretty awful. I actually am one of those people that really liked Thomas Jane in the part, because I think Thomas Jane is a very underrated actor. He looks a lot like Christopher Lambert, and I think a lot of people associate them together because they do look alike.
But yeah, they do.
Thomas Jane is fantastic. I've loved
he's
him
a great
in
actor.
He's done. I loved him in The Mist. I loved him in, and I loved him even in this horrible TV show, Hung. The show's awful, but he's always good in it. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, really, I liked him as The Punisher. I know it deviated a little bit here and there from what people wanted, and closer to the comic, Warzone was much closer, but I really kind of missed Thomas Jane.
Well, see, I
part.
Liked Ray Stevens, though.
I did, too.
I mean, I like Ray Stevens. To me, what I liked about Ray Stevens is he had that quietness. He was, you know, he didn't have a lot of lines. He basically let his acting was his emotions. But he's a great actor. He was great in Rome.
Well, and he looked the part. I mean, let's be honest, he looked just like the comic.
Well, guess what we get to see him tonight?
Yeah.
He's playing Volstagg.
Oh, wow.
So we have the Punisher as Volstagg.
That's really weird.
Why not? We get the Human Torch's cap. We might as well just, you know. There's not enough actors out there.
Well, they are, but no one wants to hire him. How's
pretty
that?
Soon it'll just be a one-man show and everybody's playing all the parts.
Or else it'll be like Tron, where we had Jeff Bridges playing his old self via computer. He just did the voice, and the whole early years were computerized. It was freaky.
Right.
I didn't even notice at first.
Well, you know, the last X-Men movie, they did that. Xavier and Magneto, for all the young scenes, it was just computer imagery on top of them acting to make them look younger.
It was weird, yeah.
It didn't flow real well.
No, but they've gotten better, because it was really hard to tell at first in that Tron movie. I caught it finally in the close-ups. You're like, hold on, something here just isn't quite right. But that was a full-on digital character they made.
Oh, granted,
that was
yeah.
Freaky, man.
Well, back on Thor, I got to tell you, the part I am disappointed with, I've always liked that when Thor was cursed, like in this, supposedly he loses his powers and he goes to Earth, but I like that you had Donald Blake.
Right.
I like that he was the doctor, he was the cripple, and when he hit that stick, he became Thor.
He got possessed or whatever.
Yes, because what I liked about it is when he wasn't Thor, he was mortal. He could be hurt. There's a lot of issues, you know, where he didn't get that stick in time and he had some issues. Kind of like David Banner, you know, there was times where you were worried if he was going to be able to turn into the Hulk or not.
Maybe that's why they didn't do it, because they didn't want people, today's audiences, to compare the two, because there is so much similarity between those two in that way.
There is, but I mean, honestly, the fact that if he would have been cursed, I mean, to say, hey, you're now mortal, and now it's going to be like, okay, later on you're going to be a god, I think that would have been a better character.
Right.
You know, I would have liked to have seen two different actors play Thor. I'd like to have seen, here's this big, you know, godlike character, you know, and they have a decent actor playing him. I mean, heck, he's a head taller than everybody else on the set.
I just wish he had longer hair. That was kind of one of my things. I'm weird like that.
You're a
truist.
Because
all the pictures,
you're a
he's
truist.
Like got this long hair, and he's got the helmet, and he's got the battle cry going.
Right.
He just seems more savage in the comics to me.
Well, see, he wasn't my dream Thor anyway. And it's funny, because I will say that every runner-up I've heard about this year is always the actor I wanted to play. Because Skarsgård.
Yeah.
Who's everybody knows from True Blood.
But I don't see him either, though. That's the problem.
I see him, because at least for me, if you're going to play have a Norse god, let's get an actor from Norway.
Yeah, but he's too skinny, and he's got that skinny face.
Well, you know what?
Thor needs that big jaw.
I'm not going to say anything about that, because, you know, Chris Evans bulked up where I didn't believe it. You know, if you got that same trainer for Skarsgård, I'm sure he would have been ripped. I mean, granted, we
to
got
me,
the
Thor should have been played by someone that's the size of Schwarzenegger, though. You know what I mean? That's how he was in the comics. Douche! Remember? He would, like, go head to head with Hercules and all
that. Well, I can tell you. You know who I always thought had the perfect look for Thor? I don't think he can really act, and he's proved that he really can't act in Blade 2. But Triple H.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, Triple H is just built huge. He's got the long blonde hair. He's got kind of like the Norse features, you know? I mean, to me, he had the look. Granted, can't act his way out of a paper bag. Great wrestler, but no. We're not, you know.
Can you use the words great and wrestler in the same breath nowadays, really? I put you on the spot. It's also fake.
Are we going to go right to the Jesse Ventura story?
No. I like Jesse, but let me tell you, when I kind of got disillusioned when my dad was a truck driver here in Kansas City, and we went down to Kemper Arena, and the WWF is what it was called then. Now they changed it because the World Wildlife Foundation didn't like the connotation.
WWE Entertainment.
But Hulk Hogan's in there, and they're rehearsing. You know, when we get there, we're bringing stuff down there through the truck lines. We're making a delivery. So he's in there rehearsing and stuff. Nicest guy ever, by the way. And we take these pictures, and in the pictures, we're posing together, and we're punching each other in the face. He's a cool guy, right?
Right.
But they were going move for move for move. The whole thing was choreographed like a dance. And that kind of did something to me in the way, because I kind of thought, golly, really? Really? I mean, it's not saying that you still don't have to be an athlete to do some of that, just like dancers have to be amazing athletes to do that. But at the same time, it's like, wow.
Well, see, I noticed at a very early age, when they'd whip them in the corner, and then you'd see them whispering in the ear. And that's what I always figured out is, like, they're basically calling out their next move.
Or remember we changed it to this.
Or whatever. Or like, hey, you know, here, you know, such and such is coming up next.
When you think about it, though, anyone that actually believes someone can jump off the top of those ropes and land on someone with a knee to the throat and not kill them, yeah, you got to be pretty dumb.
Well, granted. I mean, you got to have – I mean, it's great to have that, you know – once again, you know, it's great to say, hey, this is a fantasy. It's an escape for us. We like watching it.
Right.
But, you know,
don't take it realistic.
There's a lot of injuries. A lot of it's real, some of the stuff they do. Jeff Hardy, this guy jumping off like two stories, you know, back flipping into a table.
Right.
Granted, by the time he's 50, he won't be able to walk and he'll be in a wheelchair.
Probably.
But I'm telling you, that stuff I'm not going to do.
Yeah, it hurts.
I'll do some crazy crap in my day, but I'm not going to try some of that stuff. So, I mean, there's some athleticness to it.
Oh, there is. I agree.
But, I mean, yeah, I'm telling you, the fact of saying, hey, this is real.
And there's so much acting now. As a matter of fact, there's actual less matches going on and more posturing. They're all in the – they're like in the middle of the ring yelling at each other the whole time. And it's,
do you know
it's drama
sad, though,
that's going on.
What's really sad about it, though, when you look at it, if these guys are such great actors – why is it that Dwayne Johnson's the only one that's ever made a good movie?
And that's kind of debatable.
Well, no, I mean, I will give him some credit. His Disney movies, the guy can act. I mean, who knew the Saturday Night Lives to get that the guy is funny?
Right.
And when he does comedy, I mean, he did the Tooth Fairy.
I don't want to talk about that, Johnny.
Well,
I might melt into a pool of goo.
Don't even go there. But I'm going to give credit where the credit's due. The guy can act. I don't think he's a great wrestler. He's one of those that I don't think is a great wrestler that should stick to wrestling.
A lot of that steroid stuff, and it's like there's not any strength behind it. It's just all looks. You know?
Oh, granted.
Like, come on, guys. Let's get in there. Like, remember when we were kids, man, the wrestling was evil stuff. Remember Harley and all those guys?
Harley Race, Buzz, the Avalanche, Tyler.
And Bob Geigel and all those guys, they'd go in there, they'd come out
Big Bob Brody.
Oh, yeah. Those guys were nuts, man.
Yeah.
That was where it was evil down there. You'd go down to the ringside and you'd like get blood flung on you.
Kansas City All-Star Wrestling.
That was crazy. We were huge for wrestling back then.
Back then, yeah. It was us in Atlanta.
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
Funny, isn't it, how things evolve?
Oh, I'm telling you. Man, if I could have bought stock in WWF back then.
We should call this Brute Tangent.
Brute Tangent.
Because we go off on them a lot.
We do. Yes, you do. You will get that on this show. Because honestly, I mean.
That's who we really are.
Yeah.
We'll just talk about anything. One minute, it's dead seriousness about Captain America. The next minute, Benny Hill's a really great show. Let's talk about that for a minute.
But it's all somewhat related topics.
Nerds. We're nerds. We're going to call it Brute Nerds comic.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to go that far.
I'm a nerd. I love it.
You're a nerd.
I admit it. Hey, look, I'm wearing a Thor helmet to the movies tonight. That's kind of nerdish.
Do I still have to sit next to you?
You do.
Do I really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'll bring the hammer and start hitting you with it if you don't behave.
Oh, nice.
Every time I hit you, the sucker will go crack and just crack some lightning and flash up real loud.
Boom, nice, boom. And you'll be half at the...
Yeah, I'll be talking just like Thor, unlike the guy in the movie who's a British surfer.
He's Australian. Same as,
but they're talking like they're from England, everybody. How come all these people in movies?
Because they're all from England.
Unless they're from America. They even, like, certain movies, they, like, have the Japanese and are speaking like this.
These are bloody barbarians.
It's, like, funny as hell. You have to admit, like, all the Swedish people, they speak like they're from England. And then the you know, Norwegian gods are going to speak like they're from England. You know, everyone speaks like they're in Robin Hood. Yeah. It's really funny.
Yeah, the... what was Kevin Costner?
Yeah, Robin. Well, Hull. Except for him, he didn't speak like he spoke like he was from the.
He spoke sands with the British. California. What I loved about it is he spoke with the British accent for like 10 minutes into the movie, and then for the next 5 minutes, it like slowly disappeared. And by the end of it, you know,
he was California all over.
He might as well just been pitching baseballs and saying, "Hey, I'm the natural."
That's right. That's right. It was a. It was fun. I liked the last Robin Hood, too. It was a fun movie, too. I liked it. I don't know why.
Kevin Costner.
I like that one, but I like the other one, too, the Ridley Scott-directed one with Gladiator Dude, you know?
Oh, yes.
That was a good one. I was impressed.
They really set it up for a sequel, though.
Yeah, well,
it was totally like a prequel. It was totally a prequel.
Yeah, it was.
It was.
Well, we only got a couple minutes left. We're already out of show.
Are we really?
We are.
We're going to have to extend this.
It's like one of those things where we talk about so much stuff, no one knows what. We didn't even get to action figures, but we got the new Mego type figures out.
Yes.
I'm excited about it.
They are, yeah, because actually wave 3 and 4, pretty much it.
So we got the Flash.
We got the Flash, Captain Cold.
The two I'm really excited about.
Wonder Woman and Cheetah.
Yeah.
And I believe it's next week or the week after we're going to be getting Black Adam and Shazam.
Oh,
who
good.
I will say Captain Marvel.
Well, you better save me a Captain Marvel.
And Darkseid and Martian Manhunter.
Yep. Didn't they already have Martian Manhunter?
Not for Migos.
Oh, I thought they did.
No, not yet.
Wow, I've seen a picture probably. Exciting, guys, exciting. So we got some good toys, too.
Oh, yeah. And always. Green Lantern Series 2 is coming out.
Also, McDonald's. The last time, the previous 3 weeks, they've had Young Justice toys, right?
Yes, and now they got Batman.
Brave and the Bold, actually.
Yes.
I got all of them. They're... One of them, they do him like Keaton. He's got the cape.
Yeah,
like Keaton.
I saw that.
You see that? He's even holding it
yeah.
like Keaton, and he's in the Keaton suit.
Nice.
Very nice. So everyone should pick that one up. It's got Robin with it, and Robin looks very bizarre. I've never seen a Robin look like this before. Looks like a bank robber.
Really?
Looks like Batman versus a bank robber. And then you see the R on the chest, and you go, well, maybe not.
Maybe the R's for robber.
It's terrible, but I'll let everyone see that for themselves. We better go.
Thank you very much for tuning in. And tell you what, be sure to come back next week, and we will be giving you our review of Thor. And we'll let you know whether it's really good and you guys should go ahead and go see it and enjoy it, or whether we'll let you know you wasted your money, wait till Captain America.
For
Once
sure.
again, this has been a great night. Come back and see the Brute Squad.